the superintendent of Madison schools was named in a whistleblower lawsuit in his former district. It's Thursday, November 21st, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, trout in Lake Superior have recovered from a fish-killing invader, and a warship docked in Milwaukee is set to be commissioned this weekend. Stay with us.
Wisconsin life is about the food.
Tacos.
Who doesn't love a taco?
Exactly.
Everybody says, oh, this tastes good. How do you season it? Oh, we can't tell you. Just eat some more.
I wish my lemonade would be so famous that I could just walk down a red carpet.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
A lawsuit filed in Minnesota is alleging the St. Paul School District misused federal COVID funds under the leadership of current Madison Superintendent Joe Gothard. Corrine Hess has more.
The school district's former chief financial officer and former business systems analyst say they warned Gothard and the St. Paul School Board about the misappropriation of federal funds. They allege they were fired after refusing to comply with spending plans. Gothard was hired to lead the Madison School District in February. The lawsuit targets the Minnesota School District. Gothard is not named as a party in the suit. But the complaint alleges Gothard played a, quote, budgetary shell game in St. Paul and used COVID funds to fill budget shortfalls. Madison schools say they are aware of the allegations but would not comment further. St. Paul school officials could not immediately be reached for comment. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Federal money will allow 13 rural Wisconsin businesses to install renewable energy systems or become more energy efficient. The funding was announced this week and totals about $24 million. The money comes from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Rural Energy for America program. It received a major boost from the Inflation Reduction Act. Julia Lassa is the state director for USDA Rural Development. She says the final round of Inflation Reduction Act funding for the program is set for early 2025.
We'll see when the new Congress is sworn in and a budget is introduced and signed into law, what changes it may have.
Since 2021, the USDA says the program has invested nearly $67 million in Wisconsin. A nonprofit in southern Wisconsin is helping fulfill the holiday wishes of families in need. But as Sarah Lear reports, with more than 80% of its goal left to go, the group is still seeking donations.
Family Services of Southern Wisconsin provides resources in Green and Rock counties, including substance abuse and trauma counseling. It also helps with transitional housing and oversees a domestic violence shelter. Each year, its clients can sign up for a holiday wish list. Paige Allen is the group's outreach coordinator.
Most of the clients we work with are under the poverty line, and this actually is their only holiday. It is the only place that they're sourcing gifts for their children, for themselves.
As of this week, Allen says the organization has sponsors for roughly 20 families, but she hopes to sign up sponsors for about 100 more by December 16th. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
After nearly 70 years of work, fishery managers say the lake trout have fully recovered in most of Lake Superior. As Danielle Kading reports, that comes after a fish-killing invader decimated their numbers.
The lake trout population dropped to dramatically low levels during the mid-1900s due to overfishing and an invasion of sea lampreys. The eel-like parasitic fish feeds on the blood of lake trout and other fish. It spread to Lake Superior by 1938. At that time, the commercial harvest of the lake's top predator was 4 million pounds, but that dropped 95% by the mid-1960s. Bill Mattis chairs the Lake Superior Committee of the Great Lakes Fishery Commission.
Currently, what we're seeing in our assessments are that the numbers of fish in the lake are similar to that seen in the lake prior to lamprey invasion and overharvest.
State and tribal representatives on the committee say efforts to control sea lamprey, along with conservative harvests and stocking, have helped create a self-sustaining population. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A new naval combat ship, the USS Beloit, is set to be officially commissioned for active duty in Milwaukee on Saturday. The name honors Fairbanks Morse Defense, which has been making engines for the military in Beloit since World War II. And the ship was even built in Wisconsin as well, at the Finken Terry Shipyard in Marinette. Anne Franz directs the North Coast Marine Manufacturing Alliance, which includes Marinette Marine. She says shipbuilding is still an important part of the manufacturing sector in northeastern Wisconsin.
Think about shipbuilding. You really don't think about that in being built in a lake. But the Great Lakes are really why we call our organization the North Coast, because we are a coast.
The USS Beloit will be the 10th active duty ship of its type built in Marinette since 2008. Coming up, we'll have a story about a new way that the city of Milwaukee is helping first-time homebuyers. Stay with us.
Be fully awake to your day with Wisconsin Today.
Hi, I'm Rob Ferret.
I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
Wisconsin Today is a great chance to bring people around the state together and realize we kind of all share the same neighborhood, even though we don't see each other.
And also attending to the news of the day in our state through that lens and understanding the world around us. That's really what I love about Wisconsin Today.
Wisconsin Today, weekday mornings at 9 on WPR News.
And finally, the city of Milwaukee is investing in rehabbing vacant houses for new homeowners. Advocates say it helps city finances and strengthens neighborhoods. And as Nick Rommel reports, it makes a difference in people's lives, too.
On the west side of Milwaukee, Pandora, Washington just bought a house.
It feels great. It's still, like, unbelievable. And I get up and be like, ooh.
She'd raised her kids in a property owned by Milwaukee's Public Housing Authority. When they grew up, the agency said she was supposed to move into an older public housing project.
And I was like, absolutely not. It's going backwards. I don't go from a brand new house back to, you know.
Washington looked at the private market, but landlords didn't want to rent to her because she runs a daycare out of her house. When she started seeing ads for a rent-to-own program run by a local nonprofit, she took the chance. Rented for a few years, and now she owns it.
So I'm signing all the papers, and I feel myself finna get choked up as I was signing the papers, and I kept telling myself, you better not cry.
Before she moved in, Washington's house was vacant, a teardown owned by the city. Milwaukee has hundreds of these houses, most of them left by white people who moved to the suburbs in the 50s and 60s, then run into the ground by landlords who didn't pay their property taxes. Last year, the Department of City Development started a program called Homes MKE. It helps local developers rehab some of these abandoned houses and then sell them to new homeowners. That department is led by Lafayette Crump. He says homeownership can have ripple effects from neighborhood stability.
You know, they want to be a part of the fabric of their community.
To municipal finances.
We need these properties to get back into productive use so that they can contribute to paying for all of the services that are so important to city residents.
The city hopes to rehab around 120 houses through the Homes MKE program. The subsidies of between $60 and $100,000 per house all come from Milwaukee's slice of federal pandemic aid signed in 2021. Vacant houses in the city are concentrated in majority black neighborhoods. Restoring them for homeowners could help close a racial inequality. 54% of white people in Milwaukee own their houses. Only 27% of black people do.
So in our country, we have never built entry-level homes for black and Latino families.
That's Teague Whaley-Smith. He directs a nonprofit that coordinates housing policy in Milwaukee among residents, city government, and developers.
And the ones that we did build for white families, they didn't sell them to black and Latino families when they moved on to bigger homes. They sold them to investors or kept them as rental.
It's called the Community Development Alliance, and it's helped start a number of housing initiatives in the city. In recent years, census data is showing an uptick in black homeownership in Milwaukee again. On the ground, that progress takes a lot of manual labor. Six or seven men are working on this Homes MKE rehab at 27th and Vine, and their boss is Carl Quindell. he runs Strong Blocks, the same nonprofit that renovated Pandora Washington's house. Like a lot of old houses in Milwaukee's inner city, this one has good bones.
You can't build this type of home right now. It would cost $400,000 or $500,000 maybe more actually.
Quindell says the subsidy he's getting for this house is only a little bigger than what it would cost the city anyway to demolish it.
We're trying to, I think, as a city and program ourselves, say this is actually valuable. You know, our neighborhood's valuable, our neighbors are valuable, and this home is valuable.
Funding won't last forever. Philanthropy or the private sector may have to step in if Milwaukee wants to keep helping lifelong renters become first-time owners. It's a change that means a lot to Pandora Washington.
When you own something, it just feels great because you don't want to work all your life and don't have nothing to show.
So far, 32 houses have been renovated under Homes MKE. 35 more are under construction. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. And special thanks to Mallory Chang for filling in on the show yesterday. As always, we love hearing your feedback. Send us an email at newscasts@wpr.org or leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.